You're listening to Good on Paper, a bookish podcast. I'm Jenny.
And I'm Rachel.
Join us as we journey together into the land of fiction, where the men are brave, the quests are epic, and everything is better on paper.
Hi, everybody. Hi, guys. We're back, and today we're talking about one of our favorite subjects, which is YA books, also known as young adult books. Basically, the books that we grew up reading as teenagers. And so we're going to talk about our favorites. We might even get a little bit into YA books today, how they're different, whether we like them, whether we would give them to our daughters to read, our future daughters. We would give them to our future daughters to read or not. Just all those kind of thoughts.
Yeah. But as we're talking, like, even as we're, like, doing this intro, like, other books are coming to my mind. I'm like, oh, that book that I read when I was 14.
Yes. I just feel like if you grow up, reading is not the same. I don't know. Maybe it's because you're less stressed out as a kid and you can relax and enjoy it more. But I just miss those days.
I do, too. I feel like, especially because as an adult being on Bookstagram now, too, you read so much about, like, what is popular because you're seeing people talk about it all the time versus when I was in school, I just went to the library and just picked up whatever book, you know? Well, I didn't know what was popular. It was just what sounded interesting.
I think I read the whole YA section of every single library because I grew up moving around, so I probably went to two to three different locations when I was a teenager. Yeah. Actually, maybe only two, and I know I, like, read through the full YA section.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Same. I would get, like, a stack of, like, 15 books and take them, and I would read all of them.
Yeah. And then some of them, like, my favorites, I would check out and reread. Some of them, I was like, ugh, that was awful.
Yeah. There were some where I was like, is this the right section for this book? Because I'm fairly certain this is the wrong section for this book.
Yeah, I stumbled across maybe two that as a teenager I was like, ooh, I did not want to read that.
Yeah.
And that was back then. I don't even want to know what's in there now.
No. There's a reason that when I go to the library, it's usually for, like, reference books now. Because I get kind of scared to accidentally find things I didn't want to find.
So what was your favorite or one of your favorite books from when you were a teenager? Like, when you think back, like, what you just remember the most?
Honestly, the most defining series of my teenage years easily would have to be The Inheritance Cycle by Christopher Paolini.
Yeah.
The Air Force book. Yeah. I mean, I read the first two, I think, pretty quickly together, and then I had to wait for the third one. And I had to wait forever for the fourth one. And I remember buying the fourth one. Like, we went to, like, three different stores till we found it. Because I was determined to get it the day of. And I remember reading them in high school, and I read them, like, three different times. Those were, like, life-changing for me. Because they were the first, like, I think, really epic fantasies I'd ever read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everybody I knew was reading them. It was such a big deal. Yeah. Those were definitely a big deal.
I don't get into them so much, and I think it was because I read them when I was, like, 12.
Mm.
And they were just really big, like, as a 12-year-old. So I know I read the second one. Probably read the third one. I don't know that I ever read the fourth one. Because I
really?
Think that one came out. When did that come out? Because we're the same age, so.
I think I was a senior, so it must have been, like, 2013 or something like that.
Yeah, so I think by the time it came out, I was like, I don't want to reread them again to read the fourth one. I think I just wasn't interested in, like, big epic fantasy. And I think the thing for me, and I've always kind of been this way, is it's written by a guy, and I just never connect as much. Like, I wanted to read books about girls and girly things, and it's very, like, epic fantasy, like you said. And I think I like that kind of stuff, but it wasn't my favorite. I was reading more girly kind of books. So I think by the time the fourth one came out, I didn't care enough to read it, but now I'm thinking that's probably a good thing. Now I'm older, now I can just start at the beginning and read all four of them and really enjoy them.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, because at the time, I had started out reading, like, Puck Everlasting in, like, fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And so I was, like, fantasy romance was my jam, and it was usually standalone. And then I don't remember how I came across Aragon. I think it might have been recommended to me by somebody at school. And I read the first one, and I remember thinking that it took forever to get going. Like, the first book was so slow. And it was, like, 100 pages in before you really cared about what was happening. So I was like, okay, this is boring. But I remember reading it in class, and I remember when I was in middle school, I usually was the kind of person who would do my homework in advance, and, like, I would be done with everything in class, and so I'd just be sitting there, and everybody else would get to over texting, but I would have my book below my desk.
Yes.
And the teacher would be like, Rachel, you texting? And I would show them the book, and they would be like, just give me like the same guy, and I'm like, what? I'm just reading.
Reading.
And everybody thought.
Yeah, teachers always like, trying to get you to read more, so what can they say?
Yeah. But the thing was, everybody assumed that you had to be smart to read big books like that, and I was like, my grades do not translate to me reading big books, guys. They don't mean the same thing. But yeah, they are.
Did you, like, as a teenager or, like, a kid, had you already read Lord of the Rings or seen the movies at that point?
No. We read The Hobbit in eighth grade, which I liked, but The Hobbit is significantly smaller. And we watched the third Lord of the Rings movie because at the time The Hobbit hadn't been made yet.
Okay.
And I hadn't seen the movies. So, the Lord of the Rings movie. So that weekend, my friends and I watched the first two, so that when we watched the third one in class, I would understand what was happening. But I didn't read the books until I was an adult.
Okay, because I'm wondering, I'm thinking maybe if you had already liked The Lord of the Rings, that's probably had a lot to do with why you liked Aragorn so much, and I didn't, because I had, like, I knew nothing about, I mean, I knew of The Lord of the Rings, never seen the movies or, like, anything. So I think, for me, it was, like, you know, I wasn't, like, already in love with, like, that kind of fantasy, I guess.
I think it was kind of almost a, like, kind of a stamina kind of thing. Like, I started the first book, and I wanted to know what happened, and so I just kept reading. And I think, too, I'm a romantic through and through, and the romance is my favorite part. And so, for anybody who's read the Aragorn series, The Inheritance Cycle, there's just a tiny, there's a little sliver enough to keep you wondering if it's going to turn into full romance. That was part of the thing for me, was I wanted to keep reading to find out how much romance would eventually be in the book. And I was, like, waiting for more and more. So that was probably the biggest series for me, though.
Honestly, I think the romance is the only thing I remember from that book. What was her name? Was, like, Arya? No.
Arya.
Arya. Okay, I was like, wait, no, I'm thinking of Game of Thrones. But I guess they had the same thing.
Yeah,
Arya
was the slogan ever.
It was. It really was.
It was brutal. I mean, my teenage self was like, come on, just kiss already.
I think I might have actually been a little creeped out because she was so many years older.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I was 12, I was like, this is kind of weird.
That's fair. I mean, I guess it's the same thing with, like, Edward and Bella. Like, technically, he's a lot older. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was because it was the girl. For some reason, I guess even at 12, I didn't like male-female age gap for the girls older.
Yeah.
And at 12, I must have not liked that. I don't know.
That's fair. That's not my favorite thing.
Yeah. But I feel like Aragorn did it really well. Because it made it an interesting, like, roadblock for them.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely an interesting dynamic in a relationship.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as the book went on, you got to see him mature from, like, a 15-year-old boy to acting to her maturity level eventually.
Yeah.
What would be, like, the most defining YA book for you that you remember most as a teen or young adult?
I remember the Tamora Pierce series a lot. So she wrote The Lioness Quartet. It was, like, about a girl who became a knight named Alana. And then she wrote all these other books. I remember that a lot. I kind of wish I hadn't read it because there were no, like, descriptive sex scenes, but, like, in it, there were, like, the characters were teenagers. Like, it had, like, kind of fade to black. And I was very young. I was, like, 12 when I read Alana, and then I was 14 when I read, like, her other series, and, you know, back then I was like, oh, I'm so cool and grown up, and I'm reading about all this stuff, but, like, I wish I hadn't read that, because I think that definitely influenced my mind in not very good ways.
Yeah.
So I remember those a lot, even though now I'm like, I wish I could remember them. But yeah. I also really remember Shannon Hale. The Princess Academy.
Yeah.
So much. Oh my goodness. Those books were so good.
So good. I reread that one a couple of times.
Yeah, me too. And then I remember I started writing something, and it was very clear that I had been reading Princess Academy. It was so similar.
Yeah. That's awesome.
We should just start naming off books that we read.
Yeah.
I remember reading Twilight. I blew through those books.
How old were you when you read them?
I was 14.
Okay.
Who are you?
Well, see, you gotta understand, back when I was a teenager and a young adult, my parents were, like, much more strict than they are now, and my mom, like, we couldn't watch Harry Potter because we had a craft. And, like, they got rid of the Hercules VHS movie because it had Greek gods.
Somebody
at first talk about it and being like, oh, we have to do it now. I'm like, Mom, why did you do that? She's like, I don't know. She goes, somebody told me I should, so I did.
Yeah.
So they were like super strict for a while. And my mom still to this day doesn't like the idea of vampires. It really disturbs her. She just doesn't like it at all. And so in high school when they were coming out, the Twilight series, like my friends were all reading them and obsessed with them. Mm-hmm. I wasn't allowed to read them because my mom thought they were like really dark and evil and stuff. And so I didn't read them until I was like probably 19 or 20.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was quite a bit older.
I'm honestly surprised I was allowed to read them, but I think it was because one of my good friends who I was in Girl Scouts with and my mom was really good friends with them. They were both reading them, like mother-daughter, and they're obsessed with it. So I think my mom was like, well, you know, like, if they're reading it.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, like, especially at 14, those books were intense. They really were.
Yeah. I mean, I liked them once I eventually read them.
Yeah, I did too, and I honestly didn't think, just because I feel like I'm happier that I read Twilight versus, you know, Nora Pierce, because I thought that Edward's character, I don't know, maybe I have to reread it, because I'm probably going to say this, and if I reread it now, I would probably totally disagree with it. But at the time, I thought Edward's character was just really sweet and, was that chivalrous?
Yeah.
And I liked that book made it a point that Edward wanted to wait for marriage, because I feel like that's not something that, like, men and, like, fictional men are kind of, like, have that standard in fiction anymore. I mean, you never read about that because, you know, there's Meg Cabot and the boyfriend's always pressuring and this and that. So I thought it was really nice that he was leading that. So I honestly, again, I'm saying this, I haven't read them in a long time, but given my memories, I don't really think they're that bad for a young girl to read, but there's other aspects of them. But I really appreciate that. Like, I remember being young and just feeling like kind of like safe with that aspect. Like, I didn't feel like freaked out or weirded out by it.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I've read
but they were married. So.
Well, and it's not at all a descriptive. Like, it's Fade to Black, and even the Fade to Black isn't super detailed. It's basically just them making out, and then you assume that they have. Like, it's not graphic at all. I mean, it might be, like, just a tad bit spicier than I would normally read, but fairly. Yeah.
But it was a little violent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that is maybe not the best thing for a young girl. But I think by the time that book came out, I might have been a little older. But even still.
Yeah. So. I mean, I would say, like, later high school, I would probably let my daughter read it. Like, 17, 18 or so. And I mean, I read them about once a year now because I find them, like a comfort read for me now. And I would say that first, in Twilight, Edward ticks me off a little sometimes because I'm like, I get that you're concerned, but you're kind of being a jerk about it. Can you calm down? And then in the beginning of as Eclipse, there's like 3 or 4 chapters that I just completely skip over and I don't read them, because if I read them, I'll throw the book across the room because I get so mad at Edward. And I'm like, Edward, I understand that you love Bella, but you cannot be an idiot about it. And same with Jacob. I'm like, you guys are having like a pissing contest and you need to calm down. You're acting like children. It makes me so mad. But I will say that through the rest of the clips and into Breaking Dawn, because people talk about Edward and Bella's like toxic relationship and stuff. I'm like, I actually think their relationship ends up in a very healthy place. Like, I like them by the end of the series. I don't know how this at all.
But I don't remember them being like that bad. I mean, obviously they're like a little on the edge, but
yeah.
Out of all the books out there, I really don't think they're that bad.
No, I don't either. Yeah. And that was a big series back in the day. I also remember The Mortal Instruments.
I think I read Andrew Clare. Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's the series I read. I read one of the series. It must have been that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are so good. I don't remember much about them, but I remember really like loving them when I read them.
I think there's like 5 of them. I know, it's been a long time since I read them.
Yeah.
I do remember that there was, like, and I mean, I guess this is kind of unfortunately pretty standard for YA, where there was fade to black sex scenes.
Yeah.
Like in the later books, but I did read those ones.
Did you ever read The Host by Stephanie Meyer? Because she wrote Twilight and she read The Host.
Yeah. No, I can't remember why I didn't read it. I watched the movie.
It's so good. That one is my favorite. I read that. So we were in England at the time, and we lived like an hour away from London, so like south. And then we took the train to Scotland, and so it was like a 7-hour train ride. And I finished the entire Host book on that train ride. I could not stop reading. Like, just like the world building is so good. And then it has like a love triangle in it that I adore. Like, I love that. Like, it was so good.
I'll have to try that. I mean, I don't know how accurate the movie is to the book, but I liked the movie just fine.
I actually really liked the movie, which is surprising for me, like, loving the book so much, you would think I would hate the movie, but I thought the movie was so good, and the actors who played the guys, I think I thought they were perfect. I just loved it.
Yeah. I thought they did really, like, the actress was really good, having, like, kind of almost 2 separate love stories happen at the same time. I was really impressed with that. I was like, okay, all right, I see you.
Let's see, what else did I read? I read a lot of Meg Cabot, like The Princess Diaries and like her other series, but I started to get annoyed with them because they would start off good. I think we talked about this before. They would start off good, and by like the mid-book in the series, it would just end up into like the girl is trying to decide whether she should have sex with her boyfriend. And just for me, at that age, I didn't relate to that at all. Like, I didn't have a boyfriend, and even if I did, like, it was just so foreign to me. Like, that wasn't part of my world, which I'm glad, but, like, I just got really annoyed with them.
When you think about it, and this, I guess, is kind of like a tangent, but when you think about it, your prefrontal cortex is not developed until you're 26, which means that your long-term decision-making isn't really developed until you're 26, which means that as a teenager, your brain isn't really wired for you to make decisions with big consequences like having sex. So it doesn't really make sense for it to be a topic that's so discussed all the time. It's like, that's not really a topic that you should be dealing with when your brain is so underdeveloped still, like the age of like 15, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Like, I wasn't even thinking that at all. So I'm like reading these books, and I'm like, what is even happening? This is boring.
Yeah. That reminds me of The Vampire, is it a Vampire Academy?
I never read those.
The movie came out, I can't remember how long the movie came out, and I read the book to see how accurate it was to the movie, gosh, like 3 or 4 years ago. So I was an adult, but still, I think it's YA. And I think there's 5 books, and I read the first 3, I can't remember if it's 3 or 4, whatever one is in Russia, I read that one. And then I stopped because I got annoyed because at the end of every book would be like this really big cliffhanger to keep you going. And then the story would completely twist around and be like this big, like, oh, we have to go do this thing now. And I'm like, oh my gosh, can't we just wrap this up? And then of course the guy and the girl, we were never happy together until the end of the book. But, that was one of the things, was whether or not to have sex. Was like a big topic throughout the series. And I was like, I have no concept of this. right now. Yeah. I mean, even at like 3 or 4 years ago, it's like, I'm not really dealing with this at the moment because as a single woman, it wasn't really a problem for me at the time. But yeah, that would definitely not be a series that I would let a young adult read, because not only was it a constant discussion, there were a lot of fade to black scenes that were, to make up for, pretty hot and heavy.
Yeah. I remember, wasn't that the one that it just like had a ton of books? And like, you know how like there's some series where it's just like, kind of like the Magic Treehouse books. It's just like really like just keep pumping them out like fast. Yeah. Not the best quality. Because I remember that series, and that's what it always seemed like to me. So I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. Like, as a teenager, I was like, these books look like they're not going to be good. And yeah, I was right.
It's a shame, because, like, I have no problem with reading vampire books. I tend to enjoy them most of the time. And I really like the main character, Rose. Like, I feel like the author had something really good going with that main character, because she was so fun and snarky and entertaining. But then the stories just kept getting more... I guess it's in my, I guess it depends on how you feel about these movies. Like Pirates of the Caribbean movies, where they started out really strong, and then they just got more and more dramatic and kind of ridiculous as they went on. And that's how I feel about these books, where it's like they just kept doing that, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm bowing out.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this.
Yeah. There's a lot of books and series that like need to end.
Yeah.
Like they just start getting silly eventually.
Yeah.
Did you read The Hunger Games?
Yes. Yeah,
that was definitely like a big one. I remember those books, like everybody was reading them.
Yeah, they were huge, and I'm not a big dystopian fan myself, but everybody was reading them, so I was like, I wanted to. But this just shows you what kind of child I was as a teenager. I think I was like 16, and I told my mom about the book. But you know, the concept is that these kids are going into this arena to kill each other. Yeah. And so I was like, I don't know if it's appropriate or not. And my mom was like, well, how about I read it first, and so that I know if it's appropriate for you. So she read it first, and she was like hooked. She read the whole trilogy. She was like, it's not inappropriate. It's just kind of disturbing, slightly, like the concept of it. So she finished all three, and then I just read the first one. And then I was just, whatever. And then I was done.
Yeah.
And then I did finish the trilogy later, like when I was like 20 or something. But, and I've never reread it. It's not a series that I've ever wanted to reread. Yeah.
I like them, but I was definitely not obsessed with them. Like, there are other books. The only thing the reason they stick out to me is because they're so popular, and I do remember reading them. I remember seeing the movie. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they weren't like my favorite books. I mean, it's not like a dystopian type person, which is, I think I'm just picky with dystopian, maybe. Like, I'm reading a dystopian right now, and I like it, but.
Yeah. I think, too, because they were so, like, emotionally dramatic. Like, there was so much, like, trauma throughout the entire series that it kind of got heavy and tiresome to read after a while. I mean, I tend to like my reads just a little bit on the lighter side. So I think that was the thing that I didn't love about it. Not that it's bad. It's just wasn't for me, where I was like, okay.
Yeah. Did you read the Maximum Ride book? They were, I can't remember the author, but they're about, like, these kids that were born with, like, wings.
Okay.
And so they're, like, locked up in some lab, I think, and then they escape. But it's basically, like, so they have wings, and so it's kind of dystopian, and it's, like, band of teenagers kind of thing. I think they have younger kids, so it's, like, the found family trope a little bit. But I remember I was so obsessed with those books. I loved them. And, like, the romance in it. That was the first time, like, I think I really enjoyed romance, because it was very mild. It was just, like, the guy that she liked, like, they knew they liked each other, and, like, one time he touched her hand. And I just remember, like, I got shivers. I was like, oh, this is so exciting.
Yeah. You know?
And I just really, it's one of those book series that has, like, a fond memory in my heart. Because I was a young teenager. I was, like, maybe 13 or 14. So this is, like, kind of, like, my first experience with, like, reading romance and, like, being, like, old enough to, like, relate to it, and it's exciting to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love those books. I want to say it was, like, Haddix, like, Margaret Peterson Haddix, but it might have been a male author.
Okay.
Actually, I think it was a male author. I don't know. But we can put all the, I'll look up, like, the books and, like, all their authors
later.
I mean, our
I don't know, the first romance series that I ever read, that I think really, like, I liked Touch of Everlasting. It got me into it. But, like, the first romance series that I read where it was, like, the actual romances, and I was really excited about it. And I don't know if anybody has read these, but it's the Frog Prince.
I love those. Those are really good.
I emailed the author, and I was like 14, and I sent her a picture of myself, and I was like, if you ever make a movie, I think I would be a really good lead.
That's so
it's so funny looking back at it now. But I think the character had auburn hair, so I could actually do it now. But I don't look anymore. But I just, yeah, those are the first ones that I just, oh, I love this book. Love this book.
They never use actual 16-year-olds. Like, you can play it. You can still do it.
You guys need to make a look at action. Call me. Oh, somebody. Yeah, I love it. I don't remember how
I found them at the library. I actually think I was 9 when I started reading them. But I think I reread them when I was older. Did you ever read the Once Upon a Marigold
books? Yes!
They're kind of stuff.
I did! Yeah, those were sad. That was another one where I was like, probably nobody even knows who Patrick is. Yeah. I don't remember it very well, but I know I read it.
Yeah. Those books were so good. And then, like, the Gale Carson Levine books. I mean, those I started reading younger, but I still really like them when I was a teenager. Like, LA Enchanted and Ferris and,
I've read, they're cool.
Yeah. It's like a fairy tale retelling. She does like a bunch of fairy tale retellings. Even back in the day, those were my favorite. Mm-hmm. They still are my favorite. I mean, I haven't changed.
I feel like those light, fun romances were always my favorite thing to read. Still are, really.
Yeah. I remember I really liked one. It was called Wildwood Dancing by Juliet Marillier. And her adult series is like my absolute to die for series now. But back then, I had only read this one. And it was a 12 Dancing Princesses retelling, but it was set in like Poland. Oh. So, like, the characters all had, like, Slavic names, and I just remember I loved that book. It was so good. And I really liked, did you ever read Summers at Castle Alban?
I think
it's kind of a more obscure book. I can't even remember the author, but it was kind of the same genre I like now. It was fantasy, but, like, more romance and very, like, female, like, focused. Yeah. I feel like you would really like it if you read it.
Yeah.
It's just I read it over and over.
I love those books. There used to be a bookstore, I think it was called Boosting Online, and it was like you could get books for like $2. And I would get boxes of books at Christmas for my birthday every year. Oh, I love that. So I have like, I still have all the Edie Baker books, paperback books in my storage unit and stuff, and all of my Shannon Hale books. I still have all those too.
So do you read a lot of YA books today, or, because I know you mostly read indie books on, Kindle Unlimited, which I feel like a lot of those are YA, but maybe some of them are just like teen adult too.
I think, I feel like, indie books aren't marketed usually as clearly, whether or not they're YA or adult. Yeah. So sometimes I'm like, I don't really know. I think K.M. Shea's books are all technically marketed for YA. And every once in a while when I'm reading them, I can kind of tell, but for the most part, to me, they just feel like teen adult books. I'm trying to think who else. I think most authors that I read, like Melanie Sellier, I think is how you say her name, or W.R. Dale, like I think all of those are technically all YA, like written for YA, but they just feel like teen adult to me.
Well, I feel like YA and clean adult are so similar. And I've always thought, like, as I got older, I was like, you know what? I just want to write books that any woman 13 and up. You know what I mean? I was like, why does there have to be such a big difference between, like, a young woman, like, in her teens and, like, an older woman? Like, why do we have to make it depressing and dark and all that stuff? So I was always like, I want to write books They're like, if you're 13 and you're female or older than that, you're probably gonna like it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just the way I feel.
Yeah. There's actually, and this is kind of off topic, but whatever. We like it when we get off topic. I've been rereading books that I own lately, and the book, and like I pick out a color in the book, and I picked out Wolfskin by W.R. Gengel. I don't know if anybody's, if you've heard of that one or not.
I think that's on my TBR. Okay. It sounds super familiar, but I haven't read it.
I thought of you when I started reading it. Like, I've read it before, and like, but I was reading it, and I was like, this reminds me, I don't know why, but this reminds me so much of Jenny. Like, the main character is this young, like, 14 or 15-year-old girl. It's a Red Riding Hood retelling, and it's, like, kind of got this very pulsy way of storytelling that feels like a story that's been told down from mother to daughter for years kind of thing, and it's super sweet, and I just, anyway, I don't know why that one reminds me of you so much, but it does, and I was like,
okay, now I need to read it.
Yeah.
Like, it's on my TBR. It needs to get bumped up. Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't, like you were saying, it is, I think it's YA, but it, to me, feels like teen adult slash YA. Sometimes YA feels really young, like the characters feel really immature, but then I feel like a lot of the time it just feels like a teen adult book.
Yeah. And so even when I was a teenager, because sometimes the thing with YA, I feel like it's either too adult or like too dumbed down. I feel like that's why I like books that could be either YA or like teen adult. Because I feel like teenagers, you know, should be able to read books that are dealing with, like, more adult themes, but are just, like, not dragging you down kind of thing, like, uplifting, but, like, more adult themes. And I think that's why I like the idea of having books that, like, a young woman could read and an older woman could read. Because, you know, once you hit your teenage years, you know, you come into your physical adult maturity at least. So, you know, you're starting to think about, like, romance and marriage and stuff like that. And so that's why I appreciate books that deal with, like, romance and marriage and coming into being an adult, but just, like, in an uplifting, like, inspirational way that's not full of, like, stuff that you don't want to be reading about, basically.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I agree. I feel like that's the goal. I think that's why I don't like to call it YA when I write books, because I want it to be accessible or desirable to pretty much any woman.
Yeah.
Period, you know?
Yeah. And I understand, like, the whole thing about teenagers are more emotional and they make dumb decisions, but I think a lot of that is because, like, people don't hold them to a standard. And that's why I never really liked the whole, like, really young, like, teenager book where they do, like, all these stupid things. And it's just, like, to me, I'm like, then you're setting the bar for young people as, like, oh, this is how I should be because, you know, this is what teenagers are. The concept of teenagers is such a new concept. Like, back in the past, they were young adults.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. And people might say, oh, well, but their brains and their hormones and this and that and the other thing. I still think there's something to be said for, like, expecting a certain standard.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can bypass your hormones and your, how your brain is, like, a little bit more if somebody holds you to a higher standard. Like, if it's going to be harder. Because you're young and you're dealing with all this stuff. But, like, I think people sell teenagers short on what they should be able to achieve and how they should be able to act and all that stuff. I really do.
I agree. I mean, I always think of when I'm reading books about kids or teenagers, I think about when I was teaching third grade and those 8-year-olds, like, the conversations we had didn't feel always like it was an 8-year-old. Like, they understand a lot and they're actually really smart. And they, like, they understand, like, the social nuances and stuff. Like, they're not stupid. And I think that they respond more like adults and you treat them like adults. Like, for teenagers. Like, they can, you know, they don't have to do the stupid, really obviously dumb mistakes in a book all the time.
So, what were we talking about? We really got off on a tangent.
No,
it's still related.
I know, isn't it?
Reading YA now. Yeah, so you read, like, kind of, like, teen adult, YA, sometimes it's a little blurry. But I've been reading a lot of, like, strictly YA lately. I don't know why. I think because, like, it's, like, the first section when I walk into the library. So I just see it. and I start reading. And I think a lot of people I know on Instagram read a lot of YA.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, there's that book that somebody was talking about. And right now I've been reading a lot of like the Enclave, you know, the Enclave Publishing House. Yeah. And I think they're, I don't know if they're all YA, but some of them definitely are. So it's like, science fiction and, science fiction and fantasy. So I think they call it like speculative fiction or something like that. So right now I'm reading, The Wonderland Trials by Sarah Ella. And it's so good. Like, it's kind of reminds me of like Haribol. It's like, I'm like, I didn't expect to like another book as much as Haribol. Mm-hmm. And it also reminds me a little bit of Harry Potter. And it's just like, has a really good world building, because it's taking off of like Alice in Wonderland, but it's also kind of dystopian. And it just has really good like Christian, like kind of, I don't want to say allegory, but maybe it is allegory.
Yeah.
And I'm just really enjoying it, like, so much.
Yeah.
You know, I picked it up. I was like, oh, I might not like it, but I was like, wow, I really like this book.
Well, especially when Bookstagram and tells me something is good, I'm always like, eh, is it though? So it's nice to like, okay, no, that's not.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying that. And then I just finished Endlewood, which I feel like it's YA. I don't know if that's how Alyssa, the author is Alyssa Savianos. I hope I pronounced that right. I'm sorry, Alyssa, if I didn't. I just finished that one, and it was so good. Like, it was a book like I finished, and I was like, I'm so excited to let my teenage daughters read this book, because it was really good and so sweet. It's kind of like Owl's Moving Castle and like kind of like Lord of the Rings inspired. Like, it wasn't like Lord of the Rings, but it was just like Lord of the Rings, but it was a cozy fantasy kind of thing.
Yeah. I like
this book. Yeah, so I've been reading a lot of YA lately, like so much YA. I think like all the books on my nightstand right now are all YA, and I don't know how I got here, but.
So you're like the of YA today. So then in your opinion, does YA today feel the same as YA when you were a teenager?
Some of it, yes. Actually, not really. No. And I'll say, because the ones I've been reading lately, like the Enclave books and like Alyssa's book, which is indie published, those books are the books I wish I had had. That I don't think they were publishing. They're a lot like, because when I was growing up as a child, everything was like magic, adventure, and like a good moral and like cozy. And then when I became a teenager, I felt like I couldn't find that.
Yeah.
So I do think there are a lot more like indie publishers and small publishers publishing that I wish I could have had. And then the traditionally published YA feels very different.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just, I don't know if it's darker, it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm older, it just feels very repetitive and darker. Mm-hmm. Although, one book I'm reading is called Cool Illusions by Margie Austin. It definitely has, it feels very nostalgic, like old YA to me.
But
other than that, like, I feel like the language has gotten really stylized to the point where it's too much for me. Like, everything is short sentences and repetitive, like, for poetic effect, but I'm just like, oh my god, like, can you just tell the story? I don't need all this pretty language. Like, it's getting in the way of the story.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a big difference. Language has gone super stylized now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is different. Now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, it's very different.
I agree with what you said about how the books you have now you didn't have as a teenager and you wish you did. Like, so many of the YA books that I read, and like you said, most of them are indie published. A lot of the ones that I like are YA now. And I think it's not that nobody had written those stories at that time, but nobody published them at that time. And now they're, you know, everywhere. And as far as, like, traditionally published YA, I don't know the last time I read a traditionally published YA book, it's been years. But from what I gather, I almost feel like there's no right and wrong isn't clear. It's everything is a gray.
Yeah.
Everything is a gray area. And everything is like, oh, we're kind of bending this rule and bending that rule. And, you know, we're blurring all the lines kind of thing, which I'm not a fan of myself.
Yeah. And the reason I don't read a whole lot of traditionally published YA is I feel like I have to be careful because I have read YA books before where they have full-on descriptive sex scenes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
YA book. And I personally don't want to read that.
Yeah.
Like, myself as an adult.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I'm just hesitant about picking up YA books because I don't know what's going to be in them.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes me sad because I wish I could just, like, let my daughters run loose mm-hmm. in the library, but I don't know, you know, whether I really should or not. If yeah. it's, like, how it is today.
Yeah.
Which makes me sad because I think having that freedom as a teenager is really nice.
Just yeah.
to read whatever I wanted to read. But I also look back and I'm like, oh, I wish I hadn't read that. I wish I hadn't read that. So.
Yeah. Like, if somebody could have kind of censored it a little bit for you, then it would have been mm-hmm. better for your brain. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And what I read wasn't even that bad, too.
No.
Yeah. What they have today.
What amazes me is, like, any parents out there, please do what my mom did, where if she wasn't sure, she would read the book first so that she knew mm-hmm. who to. For me, do that for your kids, because like there were people on the internet when I was trying to figure out how appropriate Game of Thrones was years ago. There were people who let their 13-year-old read Game of Thrones. 13, and I also looked up. I think it was Throne of Glass, the series, and somebody let their 13-year-old read that too. And I was like, and I looked up to see how appropriate it was, and I was like, 13-year-old reading this? I'm like, parents. What are you doing? Like, look yeah. at the book before you let your kid look at it. I mean, it's unfortunate that you have to be diligent, parents. You never yeah. know.
Yeah. I agree. I cannot imagine reading Game of Thrones at 13. Because, like, even as an adult, like, I want to finish the series in that it's just really good story. I want to know what happens. But I have to take it so slow. And this is probably why I shouldn't read it, honestly. So maybe I won't finish it. But I'll be reading it. It just makes my skin cold. Wall, because it's that morally gray thing. So it's not only like there's violence and sexual stuff in it, the way they treat it is just so depressing and like really disgusting at times. So mm-hmm. I'll be reading it and I'll just be like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's such a good story because it is. He's a great writer, but I, you know, I'll read like one book at a time, then I have to go 6 months before I pick up another one because it's just really. Hard to get over, so I can't imagine like if it's
no.
that. Like, yeah. I hope that they're not totally disturbed because I think that would have really upset yeah. me.
Yeah,
that would have been really upsetting.
Yeah, I know. It's a huge show for good reason because fantasy is hard to find, and then really good storytelling in fantasy is hard to find. And I knew from the get go I was never gonna be able to watch the show personally because. I don't, one yeah. thing I don't dwell with aggressive violence and then also the, crude sexualness. I was just like, nope, I'm not gonna be able to do this. But I was so interested in the storyline that I looked up the synopsis of every single episode, like the detailed synopsis to find out what happens to every single character throughout the series. So I know everything that happens, but I didn't have to read, like, that's what I do sometimes for books yeah. that I'm fascinated by, but I know I can't, like, it, the, content yeah. I can't do. I just look up what happens in the content. My curiosity is
appreciated. Yeah, yeah, because that's one show. I mean, you can't just like fast forward through it. It's just too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you'd be fast forwarding through most of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I remember when I was young, we watched The Pillars of the Earth TV series, and I was like a young teenager. I was like 13 or 14, and I was so disturbed by it. Like it was just very disturbing for me. So I. Can't imagine like being 13 and reading Game of Thrones because it's the same kind of vibe. Actually, I really think that the author must have read Pillars of the Earth because it seems very similar to me. It's like all political, and then they have like weird stuff in it.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. But, like I watched Black Hawk Down when I was like 16, and I sat there crying and shaking the entire movie. Because I was so, like, it was so intense, I just couldn't, like, I don't do well with intense stuff, mm-hmm. I just handle it. So I'm like, there's no way that I could handle Game of Thrones, because I'm pretty sure it's, like, 5 times worse to just 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the yeah. thing, like, some people, I don't know, and I wonder if it's, like, a personality thing, or just, like, what you're exposed to, because I feel like some people are just very sensitive readers. We just don't like really disturbing stuff. And sometimes I wonder if it's like, are we born like that? Or is it people who are not sensitive were just exposed to things as kids, which I think is sad. Like, if that's the case, like, that makes me kind of sad.
I got to think it has to do a little bit with how you're raised, because my brother and I were both raised not totally sheltered, but more on the sheltered side. And even him, like, he's been exposed to more as an adult than I have, because he is more curious than I am. And I'm like, nope, no, thank you.
Yeah.
But even him, he doesn't like scary movies. He doesn't like really nasty, gory, icky stuff. Like, he's watched Game of Thrones, but that's, like, his limit. And he didn't enjoy. So I'm like, I have to imagine that to some extent it does have to do with how much you've been out of how much you can handle.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it could go both ways, too, because I think people who have been exposed to really bad stuff in real life, like, they know that it's actually awful. Like, other people might be like, oh, it's fun, because to them it's entertaining, because they've never really gone through anything. Like, I mean, my fiancé, if we watch something and, like, the character's storyline is really toxic, or, like, there's toxic relationships, just, like, he has had enough, like, experiences in his adult life. He's like, I don't want to watch stuff about toxic people. You know, like, I'm moved on from, like, that part of my life. It's over. I'm not dealing with these kind of people anymore. And he just wants something to do with it. And same with me, because, like, I dealt with, like, a lot of toxicity in my early adulthood, like, broken families and stuff like that, and, like, toxic relationships. And now I don't enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this just reminds me of things that I don't want to be like. I don't want to, like, be involved with that anymore, and I don't want to, like, fill my brain with it, you know?
I agree. I feel like unless it's, like, a cautionary tale or, like, a uplifting kind of thing of somebody getting out of a situation, I don't want to just watch people be abusive toward each other. I don't find that entertaining.
Yeah, I think there's such a big difference between just showing it just to show it and then having it the ending, like, I watched, it was really off that one, but anyway, I watched, Davy Jones and the Six show, and it is definitely, there's a lot of, I mean, drugs and alcohol and, like, all sorts of, because it's about rock stars.
Yeah.
But some people might disagree with me on this one, but I actually didn't think it was that bad, because there was at no point that I felt they were glorifying the bad behavior. It always seemed to me that they were showing that this is a lonely, awful life, and this is what happened, but the storyline was showing it as, like, this is not the life you want, and it's easy to get into, but it's very broken and unhappy, and I thought it had, like, a really good moral at the end, and I felt like the book did, too, so that's kind of, like, I feel like my limit, like, I'll watch it, because it happens, people make bad choices, and people suffer and stuff, but I don't like it to be glorified. I like it to be always seen as, this is unhappy.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, these characters are not happy this way. And then at the end, they, like, come out of it and they settle down and they have, like, a normal family life, which is, like, what happened. Sorry if I spoiled the show for
anyone. And I totally agree. Like, when there's a point behind it, like, you know, like you said, showing how, what the consequences are actually like, that's, you know, doesn't bother me. And this is, we're totally off topic. The thing that probably bothers me most when I'm watching things on TV is I don't like gratuitous violence, because it just, I feel, it's almost, because I almost get, like, secondhand everything for the characters. Like, I get secondhand embarrassment. I think I get secondhand, like, misery, where I'm like, I feel for them so hard that it's like, I can't watch this. But sexual assault, visually, why? Why ever? Why is it? I remember watching The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio about the bear attack, which the bear attack was bad enough. I don't know why they had to show the entire bear attack. Why? Why? But then also to show a sexual assault scene later in the movie, and I was like, what value is this supposed to add to the movie right now?
Yeah.
Like, for one thing, it has nothing to do with the story, but even if it did, you could just insinuate that something had happened. I don't need to see it. I don't understand why people need to film that. I don't understand it at all. It just blows my mind.
And I think it's for people who, like, are more numbed or, like, deadened, so that they need to take their excitement. But for me, like, I feel it with it. So it affects me physically. Like, when I see violence, like, it hurts my body.
Yeah.
like, I'm imagining it happening to me. So, you know, and I think that's the sad fact. I think they put it in there because some people are not sensitive like that. And they like it because they aren't sensitive. So they need that, like, extra kick to, like, maybe feel something. Which is sad because I feel like everybody should be sensitive enough where, like, if they think about something happening to another person, like, it hurts them, too. And that's how it should be. It really should, but not how it is, you know?
I know. It's like when they show videos of people getting hurt, like, that are funny. It depends on how hurt you are, how laugh.
But, yeah,
you
know, it is true.
I don't find it funny when people get hurt. Like, I always find those movies where I'm like, oh, my gosh, are they okay? Like, those funniest home videos. Moments. Like, I'm like, okay, did somebody call the ambulance? Like, that's my reaction. Yeah. But apparently that's not it.
Yeah, like, when people, like, flip over and fall on the sidewalk, I'm just, like, imagining that scraping on the sidewalk and, like, falling hard and, like, hitting your head. Like, it just, it hurts me.
We are not put out for the really graphic world of entertainment.
We're just not. That's the point of this episode.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, should this even be, like, entitled YA books anymore, or, like, Sensitive Readers Unite? That might be a better title.
There we go, yeah. Until the war on topic.
But, yeah, that is our thoughts on YA books, and stuff that we like reading, and stuff that we do not.
Because, boys, there are a lot of it.
Yeah, so, yeah, thanks for sticking around with us, guys.
Yeah, if you're still here, you're a superman.
But, yeah, let us know if you agree with us, like, what kind of stuff you like watching, or if you've read any of the books that we read as teenagers, and if we share any similar favorites, let us know in the comments.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for watching.
We'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it, and tune in next week for another episode. And if you enjoyed it, please consider leaving a review so that other people can find us, and we will see you in the future. Bye.